1976, St. Chapel.
Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, called the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. The Hebrew word for words right there is speech, discourse, and it corresponds to the Latin verbum. It is from a word which means to set in a row. Set in a row. If you take the second sheet of brother now, together, 1, 2, 3, 4. Four young men on that second seat, and they're all sitting in a row. Now that's the literal meaning of this Hebrew word here. Words. To set in a row. Not all zigzagged and mumbled up, you know, jumbled, something like that. Confused. It means to set in a row. And that's what we do when we speak or write. We set words in a row. That's exactly what we do. Now the idiot, and I'm not slurring, I'm not making fun, not running anybody down, the idiot cannot do that. He cannot set words in a row in a sentence. He cannot make sense because his mind doesn't click. Now he may be able to babble, he may be able to utter a few gibberish words, but that they're not logical. They don't have any meaning. We can't understand them. That's a literal meaning of this word, words, to set in a row. So it comes to mean speech or discourse or something of the kind. It also meant to lead, guide, or drive as you drive flocks or herds to pasture. It also means to govern or to rule a people. Somebody says, well, all those meanings are far apart, they're far-fetched. Well, the Hebrew language is limited in its vocabulary. And they had to make one word mean a lot of things in order to cover human ideas, human thought. And that's the reason this word, words, means all those things. All right, the word Jeremiah, let's get that now. Jeremiah. It means literally whom Jehovah launches forth. Whom Jehovah launches forth. That's the literal meaning of the name Jeremiah. In other words, this young man did not call himself to be a prophet or to the ministry, but Jehovah launched him forth. As they launch missiles in the outer space at Cape Canaveral or Cape Kennedy in Florida, as they launch a plane from the deck of an aircraft carrier, that plane doesn't launch itself, it doesn't push itself off the deck and get into the air, but it's launched from a launching pad, from a catapult. And so Jehovah here is the catapult that launches Jeremiah into the ministry as a prophet and to write his book. All right, the words of one whom Jehovah wants forth, the son of Hilkiah. The word son there means one who is built according to a certain pattern. That's to me the Hebrew word son, bana, and the Hebrew word bana, and it means one who is built according to a certain pattern. Now every one of us have a head between our shoulders and not between our toes. Every one of us have arms on the shoulders and not from the hips. We are built. We don't have noses on our backs. We have them in the front, between our eyes. Every one of us, whether masculine or feminine here today, is built according to a certain pattern. And God, who created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, set that pattern in the first man and woman. And that pattern has come all the way down through the generations. So that we have it today. We experience that pattern today. Every time a baby is born into this world. Now then, if there are any defects or deformities in that pattern, it's because of sin. Mm-hmm. But in the millennial reign of Christ, every baby, masculine and feminine, will be born perfect. Because the curse of sin will be removed in that period of time, from the human family. And there will be no deformities, no defects in the human family, born in the millennial reign of Christ. All of that, brethren, comes out of the Hebrew word bana, which means to build, erect, or something of that kind, according to a certain pattern. Every building we build, or build, is built according to a certain pattern. You just don't build them by wild guess. You have a blueprint. You go by a pattern. Well, that's what this Hebrew word means right here, the son of Hilkiah. The word Hilkiah right there, that word Hilkiah is from the Hebrew word, which means to be assigned to Jehovah. Assigned, A-S-S-I-G-N-E-D, assigned to Jehovah. Because this man was a priest, and he was called to do the priest's work in his day. Of the priests that were in Anathoth. Now let's see, I have the meaning of that word Anathoth right here somewhere. Anathoth. It has a meaning, here it is, it means answers to prayers. It was a city of the priests in that day. And the word Anathoth meant answers to prayers. Evidently, those priests who lived in the city of Anathoth were praying men. And it was 3 Roman miles northeast of the city of Jerusalem. That was Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin. The word Benjamin itself means the son of my left hand. He was the last son born to Rachel just before her death near Bethlehem. The son of my right hand. It also meant good fortune. He was the youngest son of Jacob and Rachel. And he was the founder of a tribe of like name, and his territory lay in the direct middle of Palestine. And you remember Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, prided himself in being from the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin was a wolf. According to Genesis 69 and 10, I believe it is, he was a wolf. You remember Saul of Tarsus was a wolf in that he killed many of the Lord's sheep before the Lord met him instantly on the Damascus Road and struck him down. And then the Lord turned that wolf into a lamb. And the Apostle Paul made a great preacher for Jesus Christ from that day on until he died. Well, all of that comes out of the word Benjamin. Benjamin was the head of a great tribe. All right, let's go to verse number 2. Verse number 2. To whom the word of the Lord came. Now, I wish that you brethren could read Hebrew, because this word of the Lord right here means it has more force in the Hebrew language than any translation can give. Because when you bring one language out of its original into another, you have weakened the force of that original language. Amen. And I wish that you brethren could read Hebrew so that we all could see what the weight and the force of this word of the Lord means right here. be, in that expression, word of the Lord, I'll be, that's not in the Hebrew, but it just simply means word, Jehovah. And right between those two words there, word Jehovah, is what we call an English hyphen. And it's just about as long as my forefinger. And that hyphen, called a matzah in the Hebrew language, equalizes those two words, word and Jehovah. It makes word equal to Jehovah, and Jehovah equal to word. So that what Jehovah says is equal to himself. You know when God speaks? He speaks worlds into existence. When God speaks, he saves your soul from sin and my soul from sin. His word is equal to himself. And what he said to that prophet Jeremiah, whom he launched forth, is equivalent to him saying that himself. Though he didn't do the right, he allowed Jeremiah to do the right. I may not have made myself clear because that's, but I may not have done it. But anyway, I'll labor it to God. Word Jehovah. Now, I mean something, Brady. That's weighty right there. That's full meaning. That's that. Word Jehovah. Just to say word of the Lord, I kind of weak. You know, I'm pretty weak. Word of the Lord. Well, let's get off of that and do something else. To whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah. Now, brethren, that word Josiah. You know, Josiah was a good king. I mean, you know that. Everybody in this house who has read the Old Testament knows that Josiah was a good king. And his name means whom Jehovah healed. Whom Jehovah healed. Now, you know, in the days of the reign of that king, he healed the land of Judah. He healed the temple. He healed the people of that land. He destroyed the idols. He knocked down altars. He got rid of all false religion in the land of Judah. He actually healed that land, brethren, and that's the meaning of his name. Josiah was a good king. All right, Pharaoh Necho one day decided that he would go and fight the Babylonians, and he had to go through the land of Palestine. And when Pharaoh Necho reached the land of Israel, and the field of Megiddo, there Josiah met him, and one of Pharaoh's soldiers aimed an arrow at that Hebrew king and shot him in a vital part of his body, so that he died almost instantly. They carried that body back to Jerusalem, and the entire nation went into mourning. Men, women, boys, and girls, and I mean they all wept. Everybody wept. Because that was a good king and a good man, and he had done a great work for the country of Judah, the city of Jerusalem, and the temple itself. Josiah. I wish we had a president like Josiah was king of Judah in his day. And word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon. Now that was a grand rascal. Amon, a grand rascal. In the 13th year of his reign, in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah. I don't know how that Amon could have produced such a good son as Josiah. But he did. He did. Sometimes young men just do not act as their parents act. They don't do it. They go on and worship God. They are righteous. They're just. They're straight. They do what God wants done. They practice the will of the Lord. And they don't act cunning serpents like their parents do. All right, let's go to verse 3. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim. Now, he was another bad king, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah. The word Zedekiah, young men, means justice of Jehovah. And he was the last Hebrew king to occupy the throne in Jerusalem, and he didn't stay there very long, just about 2 months. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came along and took him by the nape of the neck and seated the pants and threw him off of that throne, and then took him up to Riblah and put his eyes out so that he went to Babylon but yet couldn't see the city. Justice of Jehovah. Jehovah got justice on that nation, on that king, and on the princes, on the top men of the nation because of their sin and corruption. From the days of Josiah to Zedekiah, the last king, was only 46 years. You know, when a nation starts going downhill, it gains speed rapidly toward the bottom, like an automobile that's out of control, like a boxcar that is not attached to a train going downhill. It rolls faster and faster and faster until it hits the bottom and then crashes in one mighty wreck. And that's what the nation of Judah did in 46 years' time, brethren. When a nation starts downhill, it doesn't take long for it to crash at the bottom. How about our own nation? You know one thing about America? One thing about you boys know what we're going, where we're going. I don't have to talk about Watergate. I hope that Mr. Jimmy Carter will straighten things out and get us going up instead of down. I do hope so. The first thing, I wish he would throw the United Nations out of this country.
Amen.
Because that's a malignant cancer, brethren, on the body of this nation. And a lot of those martini-guzzling bureaucrats in Washington, D.C., he needs to throw into the Potomac with a 100-pound weight on their necks.
Amen.
I'm serious, brethren. It ought to be done. And many of those senators up there stay so drunk all the time, drunk, that they don't know how to carry on the affairs of state in this nation. They don't know. They're too drunk. They're too muddle-headed. I'm serious, brother. Our nation's going down to the bottom and going down fast. Communism, liberalism, socialism, ecumenism, all that junk rot is in this nation, and you know it. All right, now, before my time is up, I want us to go to verse number 10. Verse number 10, young man. Let's read verse number 10. See, Jehovah says, look, Jeremiah, get your eyes open, boy. Stop being so blind. Get your head up. Look. That's what he says. That's what the Hebrew word is. It's an exclamation. Look, I have this day set thee over. Now, I want to start by saying, set thee over. You know, a Hebrew word literally means to muster or review. It means to review troops. Like World War, no, you boys didn't go to World War II. Well, let's say Korea or South Vietnam. You're lined up in order to be reviewed by the general. 5-star, 4-star, 3-star, and no matter how many stars you wore, you lined yourselves up with your guns by your side, your shooting polished, your clothes all neatly pressed. Everything had to be fixed exactly. Faces shaved, yes sir. Eyes sparkling, and he reviewed you to pass along with every man. Every man. Maybe he didn't turn aside, maybe he didn't say a word. That's the meaning of that Hebrew word right here. I have set you as a general to review the nation as they divide, as you divide them. To review. I want you to look them over, boy. Here's Jeremiah now, just a common Jew. He wasn't any better than you and I. Just a common man. As a matter of fact, he said, Jehovah, I can't talk to those people. I'm just a cop. You expect me to get out there and preach to those Jews that are worshiping idols? I can't do it. Jehovah said, come on, you're going to do exactly what I command you to do. You know, Solomon was the wisest man on earth. Samson was the strongest man on earth. And Abraham, God says to Abraham, the man who wallops you, I will wallop him. The nation that wallops you, I will wallop him. And then he says to Jeremiah, this common Jew, man, just a common Jew, he said, I'm going to set you over nations and cities. And if you tell those nations to die, they're going to die. If you tell those nations to live, they're going to live. I'll tell you what to do, buddy. One of you can go down here to Civic Center in heart of Los Angeles and get up there and preach to those boys and say, now listen, there's a curse resting on you fellows. You're going to die in the next year's time. They call you a nut and a fool and tell you to get out of there. You're just a point-blank liar. You don't know what you're talking about. You know, they didn't beat Jeremiah that way. They knew that man wasn't enough. They knew that what he said came from Jehovah. They knew they could do what he said. All right, let's keep reading this verse now. See, I have set thee over the nations, over kingdoms, to root out. That just simply means to tear it up to the foundation, boy. Just tear it up. Tear down the superstructure. Get out all the chairs, all the pianos, everything, and then dig up the foundation and throw it away. Where is Babylon today? He preached against Babylon. Where is ancient Persia today? Those nations are gone, brethren. They've been rooted out from the very foundation, and you can't find them. Why, some archaeologists have to dig many feet deep to find Nineveh. Jeremiah preached against those people, against those cities. I have set thee over to root out, to dig it up to the foundation, boy, and to pull down. Yes, sir. Pull her down. That means break it down and destroy. That word means to grind to powder. Destroy right there means to grind to powder. Look it up, Brother Jim, in your Hebrew lexicon. It means to bruise, to pound, to crush, to grind it to powder. And then throw that powder away. That's what happened to those nations. And that boy was just a common Jew, that's all. He wasn't a Superman. He wasn't a Samson. He wasn't a Solomon. He wasn't an Abraham. But God Almighty placed him over the nations to tear those nations down or to build them up. Now somebody said, preacher, when will that building occur? It will occur when Jesus Christ reigns on David's throne in Jerusalem. The Jewish nation will be rebuilt. Gentile nations will be rebuilt in that period, and the nations will be sound and whole and well and healthy when Jesus Christ occupies David's throne in Jerusalem. Thank you very much, Reverend. Let's go.
Amen.